Today is the Sabbath day, and we're studying about feasts in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. For he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after Yahweh of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. And they broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images, the molten images, he broke in pieces and made dust of them, and threw it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. Then we'll move to verse 12. The men did the work faithfully. And that's just a portion of that verse. Verse 14. When they brought out the money that was brought into the house of Yahweh, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of Yahweh given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of Yahweh. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king, that's Josiah, he brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servant, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of Yahweh, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers, and into the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. You know, these days, most pastors, well, they'd rent their clothes for another reason, not because they were so amazed that they found such an awesome book. The king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Esaiah, servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of Yahweh for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh that is poured out upon us because, and that included war, great is wrath that is poured out upon us from Yahweh because our fathers have not kept the word of Yahweh to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah, they that the king had appointed, went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath. Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikvath, in verse 28, said, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon the place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of Yahweh. Next verse 31, and the king stood in his place and made a covenant before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes, with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. That, of course, is the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, so on, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of Yahweh, the mighty one of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve Yahweh, their mighty one. And all the days they departed not from following Yahweh, the mighty one of their fathers. Some say Elohim of their fathers. And moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto Yahweh in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. In chapter 35, verse 1, the 14th day of the first month is when the Passover begins. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of Yahweh, and said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were set apart unto Yahweh, put the set-apart ark in the house of Yahweh, which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. So put the ark in the house. Serve now Yahweh, your mighty one, and his people Israel, and prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon his son, and stand in the set-apart place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren the people, and after the division of the families of the Levites. So kill the Passover, and set apart yourselves, and prepare your brethren, that they may do according to the word of Yahweh, by the hand of Moses. And Josiah gave to the people of the flocks lambs and kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present, to the number 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks, and these were of the king's substance. The princes gave willingly unto the people. And verse 10, the service was prepared, the priests stood in their place, the Levites in their courses, according to the king's commandment, and they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites flayed them. So the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites flayed them, and they removed the burnt offerings, that they might give according to the divisions of the families of the people, to offer unto Yahweh, as it is written in the book of Moses, and so did they with the oxen. And they roasted the Passover with fire, according to the ordinance. But the other set-apart offerings boiled in pots, or sod in pots, and in cauldrons, and in pans, and divided them speedily among all the people. So that word sod means boiled. And afterwards they made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busied in offering of burnt offerings, and the fat until night. Therefore the Levites prepared for themselves, and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. And the singers and the sons of Asaph were in their place, according to the commandment of David, and Asaph, and Heman, and Yehuthan, the king's seer. And the porters waited at every gate, they might not depart from their service. For their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. So all the service of Yahweh were prepared the same day, to keep the Passover, and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of Yahweh, according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days. Also see Ezekiel 45:21 at this time. And there was no Passover like it to it that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests, the Levites, and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, in the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. Also see 2 Kings 23. Verse 20, after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him, but he sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For Yahweh commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with Yahweh, who is with me, that he destroy thee not." Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of Yah, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Have me away, for I am sore wounded." His servants, therefore, took him out of that chariot, and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. and all Judah, or Yehuda, and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah, or Josiah. And Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah and their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the Lamentations. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which was written in the law of Yahweh. And his deeds, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Yehuda. And then there's one more chapter to go in Chronicles, and I would just like to pick up at 2 Chronicles chapter 36, 15, verse 15. And Yahweh, the mighty one of their fathers, sent to them by his messenger, rising up betimes and sending. He had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, was the reason for that. But they mocked the messengers of Yahweh, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of Yahweh arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their set-apart place, or in Hebrew, of their Mikodesh, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of Yah, great and small, and the treasures of the house of Yahweh, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. 19. And they burnt the house of Yahweh, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And those that escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So they had Sabbaths to make up for. The land had to rest, according to the commandment in Leviticus 26. I think it's verse 26:32 about the land rest. And the word Sabbath means to cease, and this is the only usage of to cease in the entire scriptures. That's Hebrew number of Strong's Concordance 7673. The rest, the Sabbath, the separated day, 2 Chronicles. You can find these feast days enumerated in many places in Exodus, somewhere around chapter 22 or 23. In Leviticus 23, and in many other places, Numbers 28, Deuteronomy 14. And here's an article written by a friend of mine, Gerald Nunn and John Thompson. Yah, your jealous husband, they spelled it G-O-D for people who don't understand what Yah means, I suppose. But and on page 27 of Yah, your jealous husband, other articles are found on my website, Yahweh Yahweh. When the scriptures are placed back into the context of the writings from which they were excised, they were, you know, if we take a scripture out of context, but they were put back into context now, from which they were excised, and more importantly, put back into the context of the entire body of Yahweh's revelation to man, then the words can be seen in the manner Yahweh intended them. The scriptures in context support the truth rather than what a man, a group of men, try to twist them to say in support of erroneous doctrines. You've probably heard them do that on Christian radio programs. 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you. This is Yahweh speaking. I am jealous over you with goodly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. Paul saw the doctrines of demons and false teachings were creeping into the body of believers. He was jealous for Yahweh. Paul saw that the people he had instructed were going after Elohim and other teachings, and he was angry. Elohim and other doctrines. The doctrines of men, or the dogmas of men, contradicted and often replaced the revealed truth of Yah. Today there are rampant fabricated doctrines God that call the commandments of Yah Jewish
wants us
fables.
To obey him, not his law.
How can Yahweh's commandments or his statutes or his judgments, which are written in his word, be considered Jewish fables or doctrines of men? They obviously are from Yah.
The Father is with us.
Men have turned the word of Yah on its head. They use the very scripture verses that warn against what they are doing and say that those verses refer to keeping Yahweh's commandments have been done away with. No wonder Paul was angry. Man-made dogmas were replacing Yah's word and condemning believers who continued to be faithful to the word of Yah.
We weren't called to practice the list of do's and don'ts. Paul said that we were set free from the law. We were set free from the law to a relationship. We were called not to a mediator that is a man, but to the mediator that is God, the man Christ Jesus. You and I have been called to have a relationship, not to practice the do's and don'ts, the rights and wrongs of Christianity.
Have you ever heard a statement like, if you try to keep Yah's commandments, you will lose your salvation? Just think about that. Someone tells you that if you keep Yahweh's commandments, you do what he tells you to do, and you don't do what he forbids you to do, he will be so angry at you that you will lose out on his gift of eternal life.
You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. My goodness, we talk about falling away from grace, but we never talk about it falling into religion, into trying to fulfill Christianity through the law. But that's what Paul said, isn't it? You were not called to live according to the law. You were called to live according to the pleasure and the will of God the person.
Does it really make sense what these people say? If you try to keep Yah's commandments, you'll lose your salvation. Yah spends page after page, prophet after prophet, warning after warning, telling his people, keep my commandments. He sends plague after plague because they do not keep his commandments. He sends war. He sends our enemy. After all that, and that's most of the scriptures, the old and newer scriptures, he changes his mind. According to these people, he changes his mind and decides that now if you do what he says, he'll punish you by condemning you to hell. That is substantially a big change by Yah, who says he does not change. James 1, in the Torah, it tells you that he changes not, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, in Hebrews chapter 13. Moses told the church in the wilderness, or the assembly in the wilderness, these are not idle words. These words are life. How do those same instructions become your death? It is not by the hand of Yah, but by the perverted changes made by men to the plain meaning of the commandments given by Yah. The book, Yah, Your Jealous Husband. You could write to witness at gmail.com. We have some music by Vonda Bierman from her CD, A Touch of Country, where she sings a lot of beautiful songs like Could You Walk a Mile, Master of the Wind. And this is the first moment of eternity. The first moment. It'll be worth all the trials down here when I hear the King of all ages say, come home, child, come home to stay.
For every rough road I've traveled in this world below, my reward will be a million years. For every pain and sorrow that ever got me down,
Wanda Bierman from the CD A Touch of Country. For every rough road I traveled in this world below, my reward will be a million years. For every pain and sorrow that ever got me down, I'll receive my robe and a crown. Come home, child, come home. That's the first moment of eternity. Nice song there. We'll hear more from Vonda some other time. From Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For Yah shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. And then into the next chapter, the Song of Solomon, the next book, I should say, and the last couple of words here in verse 14. Make haste, my beloved, be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Yes, our heavenly Creator has got so many mountains of spices for us that we won't be able to contain it all. And I think there's even a kind of heaven here when we keep Yah's feasts. All the service of Yahweh was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer offerings unto the altar of Yahweh, according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. They did it all there. And they kept such a Passover as Josiah kept. They'd never done that before. The priests, the Levites, and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. 2 Chronicles chapter 35 there, as we read a beautiful portion. From the book Freedom Under the Law by Bill Schultz, and I'm going to read it here about the feasts, but backing up, and verse. This is not the scripture. This is just a man who wrote Freedom Under the Law. It's freedom. Yes, either that or it's tyranny if we have no law. In page 22, though, it says most people have never read the book of Leviticus, an amazing book of rules that define sexual immorality in chapter 18. The wonderful feast days to celebrate as pure to Yahweh in chapter 23 of Leviticus. The dietary laws in chapter 11. The laws of bodily hygiene in chapter 15. Many people through the ages would have spared much pain and suffering had they lived by the contents of the book of Leviticus, which is not addressed just to priests. It says to the whole of Israel. And who would that be? Think of the freedom from disaster like the Black Plague of the 1300s, or the millions who have died prematurely from disease due to poor hygiene. And cancer, well, that's mainly because of our food supply and getting too high on the hog. Or how about the millions who have died from heart disease and stroke from eating the wrong foods, he says. Leviticus is the central book of the Torah. The book of Leviticus is full of practical rules for daily human living. It's Yah's honeydew list. Yah teaches us in his book how to be free from many human problems. He granted freedom to mankind in the very beginning. And Yah commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Adam is free to do whatever he likes. The mighty one of Israel, Yah of the Hebrew scriptures, is a mighty one of freedom, an Elohim of freedom. Adam is free to eat whatever he likes. Adam is free to take the healing his body needs from all the plants in the garden. The only thing that Adam is not free to do is take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, he never touched the tree of life, though he should have. Now consider the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He says, when you eat from it, you'll surely die. Satan says that we will surely not die when we eat from it. You see, mankind has been trying for years to make Yahweh the liar. Adam did not die right at that very moment. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. For Yahweh knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like Yah, knowing good and evil. Genesis 3:5. We've all believed the lie, because we have taken for ourselves the knowledge of what is good and what is evil. We think that we have become like Yahweh. Yahweh wanted us to be free. He placed eternity in our hearts. We choose finite, something that we could see. Now we are not free. By taking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we have given away our freedom. It makes us captive to the snake, that is the devil. That is, to my friend in the podcasting audience, it's why we need the Savior, Yahushua, to set us free from the snake. And after Yahushua Messiah sets us free, we do not need to return to the snake. We need to let Yahweh decide what's right and what's wrong. He did that in the Torah. The law, actually, he did that all the way through the book, all the way to the Revelation, including the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and Luke. The law of Yahweh defines right from wrong. The Messiah, in each of the four Gospels, amplifies his laws, and he makes it honorable. If you truly value your freedom in Messiah as a believer, then enshrine his freedom in your heart and mind by obeying Yahweh. And that story of freedom, the Passover, New Testament or Old, it's the story of human freedom provided by our loving Yahweh. Yahweh did not create mankind to be slaves. He created us to be his very own children. He loves us in ways that we can't even imagine. He is the Elohim of freedom, Elohim of liberty. And he wants all of his children to come to him and receive our liberty. Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty. That's 25:10, Leviticus. His Torah is that law of liberty. When we failed, he sent his son to purchase our liberty by his death. By his death on a tree, on a gnarly tree. Yahweh has freed us from slavery to sin and redeemed us to be his people. Therefore, live under liberty by obeying the law of Yahweh. Romans 8:7, for the carnal mind is not subject to the Torah of Yahweh. It neither indeed can be. It is not subject to the law of Yahweh. Neither indeed can be. Romans 8:7. Amazing. What a mighty Yah we serve. What a mighty Yahweh we serve. First thing in Yahweh's mind after the giving of the Ten Commandments is the freeing of slaves. Exodus 21. Now these are the judgments. Now these are the privileges. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. And then Bill says, let me point out that in the ancient times there were no prisons. If you could not pay or make restitution, then you were sold into slavery to pay for your crime. If you could not pay or make restitution. Even for those in the prison of slavery, Yahweh is concerned about freedom. He is the Elohim of freedom, to be the total contrast to Satan the devil, who is the Elohim of slavery. Sin. Make slaves of people. Slaves to Ha-Satan. No, it's not the gentleman we heard a few moments ago who is the enemy. I was like him not too many years ago. And perhaps the man has changed. It's the devil. We are to resist the devil. And then we don't need to worry about slavery to sin. We need to adhere to Yahweh and to his word, to his law word. And to make a fine point, Yahweh chooses the Sabbath year for the emancipation. Every servant was freed from work on the Sabbath day, and every Sabbath the servant goes free from slavery. And every Sabbath year, every seventh year, Yahweh is the Elohim of freedom, and he grants freedom on his time every week and every 7 years. And at all the feasts, new moons, I'm keeping about 84 days per year. That's one-third of my time. Prophetically, in the millennial reign of Yahushua Messiah, freedom will be proclaimed throughout the earth for the 7,000-year span of time. Now only the servants. Not only the servants go free in the seventh year, everybody is to have a year off from work in the seventh year. Yahweh said to Moses on Mount Sinai, speak to the Israelites. To whom? To the Israel. Oh, that's not you, then. You don't want to be free. But anyway, to the Israelites, say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to Yahweh. For 6 years, sow your fields, and for 6 years, prune your vineyards and gather your crops. But in the 7th year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, Sabbath to Yahweh. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you, for yourself, your manservant, maidservant, hired worker, and temporary resident who lives among you, or live among you, as well as for your livestock and the wild animals in your land. Whatever the land produces may be eaten. Leviticus 25, 1 through 7. Yahweh commands every 7th year off from work. Freedom to go to the beach. Freedom to be with your spouse. Freedom to spend precious time with your children. Precious time to just be alone and think. 1, 2, the sky is blue. 1, 2. Well, let's hear from my friend Chuck Gibson about freedom and taking some time off and enjoying life.
Down the road, I must go. Rivers flow to the sea. No one knows where it goes, what it wants to be.
Soothing thoughts from Chuck Gibson there, and in the background, beautiful. So we are casting away bondage. Man's way is bondage. We need to return to the living Yahweh and serve him in freedom. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each one of you is to return to his family, property, and each to his own clan. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each one of you is to return to his family property and each to his own clan. Leviticus 25, verse 10 and verse 13. No matter what befalls a person or his family, Yahweh resets the distribution of land. It is called an inheritance because in Yahweh's law, no one can permanently take it away. Every 50 years, everyone gets to go back home. The foolishness or bad fortune of one generation cannot destroy the prosperity of the next. Yahweh wants every person of every generation free to pursue happiness. Yahweh did not create us to be miserable, that is, in the devil's foolishness. Yahweh is not mean or harsh. He is joyful. He is full of style. And that is the story of another book. Leviticus 25:23 now, moving to verse 23. The land must not be sold separately, because the land is mine, and you are but aliens and my tenants. Throughout the country that you hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land. You are not to take away anyone's inheritance. Yahweh capitalized the whole nation and would capitalize the whole world. No more socialist governments to take it away. No more tyrants. No more greedy families to take it away. Yahweh wants every human who will ever draw breath to live free. The only way to do that is to portion out the land and to let people pursue their dreams. Just let yourself think for a moment about this. The whole world capitalized to pursue their dreams. Every child of the living Yahweh One, the Mighty One, the Eternal, everyone is free to use their talent on loan from Yahweh to really live their lives. All of mankind suddenly unleashed from 6,000 years of bondage to slavery, 6,000 years to pursue joyful happiness. That's the good news of the coming kingdom of Yahweh. Not only does the law of Yahweh capitalize the nation so that we can pursue our dreams. Yahweh tells us to enjoy life. He tells us to rejoice. In Deuteronomy 12, when we live by his law, joyfulness will pursue us. There in the presence of Yahweh, your mighty one, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you put your hand to, because Yahweh has blessed you. That's Deuteronomy 12:7. And you are to rejoice before Yahweh, your mighty one, in everything you put your hand to. Verse 18 of chapter 12:18. Yahweh wants your joyfulness. In order to have joyfulness, we must live by the law of freedom. And Yahweh will bless us. Kind of like it when things go right, don't you? We'll walk in our freedom. Yahweh will bless us so that things go quite well. And how is that for pursuing joyfulness? Yahweh provides the capital. We walk in his Torah. We do our thing, then Yahweh blesses us. I don't see where we can go wrong, except to turn away from Yahweh and believe that old serpent in the Garden of Eden. Yeah, he's got his hair all slicked back there. Such an eloquent speaker he is. But how much easier can Yahweh make it for us? Does Yahweh have to come down and actually live our life for us? He has done everything else. Joyfulness is not only pursued by our vocation, by our employment, also joyfulness is pursued in times of great joy. Yahweh in his law provides for times of celebration, the appointed times. Men have substituted man-made times for those of Yahweh's. Yahweh's chosen times of celebration come with the supernatural element that all mankind craves. We're going to be reading from Zechariah chapter 7. The fruitfulness, or rather the substitute times of man, do not include that supernatural element that we crave. The substitute times do not come with a blessing of Yahweh. Yahweh has provided supernatural blessings and spiritual impartation during his times of celebration. Before the fall, Adam and Eve walked in the garden with Yahweh. They talked with Yahweh. And every human longs for the restoration of that relationship. You can have it if you'll take it. Celebrate those special times of Yahweh with and for Yahweh and feel his presence. The premier festival of joy in the scripture is the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And that last great day, actually it's chapter 8 there. We're going to go to in Zechariah, and also Leviticus 23:40. On the first day, you are to take choice fruit from the trees and palm fronds, leafy branches and poplars, and rejoice before Yahweh, your mighty one, for 7 days. And all of Leviticus 23 contains the feast days of Yahweh, Yah Almighty. These days are on the Hebrew calendar that he has put in the sky for us, and it's in Genesis 1:14. The appointed times are made by the moon and the stars and the sun. Actually, the times to celebrate Passover and first fruits, commonly called Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Atonement, Feast of Sukkot, that last great day, and more. And these feasts explain the plan of Yahweh for the salvation of all mankind. They explain the manifold blessings of Yahweh in the life of every man and woman. And they each contain their own special blessing for observance. Yahweh's provided for times of rejoicing. In Numbers 10:10, we can read about that real quickly before we go to the Zechariah. So Numbers 10:10, also at your times of rejoicing, your appointed feasts and new moon festivities or festival, good for the heart for us to laugh, play, and have fun. Yahweh provides for feast days, new moon, Sabbath days for us to rest, relax, and have fun. Yahweh likes to rejoice in our joyful time. Wouldn't you like to enjoy some joyful time with Yahweh? Sup with him? By observing these days in celebration with other people. Yahweh likes our food, fellowship, and fun times. He enjoys it with us when we enjoy him and his word and his children. And we are to rejoice before Yahweh for the ability and the freedom to pursue our dreams. He's granted us the freedom to enjoy this life and pursue our own happiness. True joy is found by rejoicing before Him for His goodness, for everything that He has given us, the talents to perform, for everything He has given us, the breath to pursue, for everything that He has given us, the inspiration to take on. We should rejoice before Him at all these appointed times. He even provides the ways, the money there. And that's also found there in Devarim, or Deuteronomy 12 and 14. Okay, now here's Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8, chapter 8, and also many other that go with this, such as Zechariah chapter 14. But this is it now, about the last great day. Again, the word of Yahweh of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith Yahweh, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of Yahweh of hosts, the separated mountain. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for every age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. That's Zechariah 8:5. So Yahweh is not against fun. Verse 6, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, If it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of the people in these days, should it also be marvelous in my eyes, saith Yahweh of hosts? Thus saith Yahweh of armies, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall tabernacle, or dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their mighty one in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith Yahweh, Let your hands be strong. Let your hands be strong, you that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of Yahweh of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. And verse 23, the last verse, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the tzitzis of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that Yahweh is with you. And the word tzitzi there, or skirt, we'll take hold of the tzitzi of him, or the tzitziot. The beautiful times we can spend with Yahweh now, in the future, by doing his word, and certainly be blessed. Chapter 14. And chapter 14, verse 16, And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to praise the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that those who do not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem. That would include Jehovah's Witnesses, wouldn't it, of all the families? Yes, they... The modern, the pop religion, pop Christianity does not want to keep that Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know why not. We've already pointed out all the benefits, the rest and the enjoyment and spiritual nourishment. You know, we need to get away. We need to take that seventh day off. We need to take those seven feasts off. And the seventh year and the 50th year... Well, it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to praise the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, so I think that would include a lot of us, those in the western part of the world anyway, and those of you who are western-minded, western culture and mentality, mindset, if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain. Now that's a spiritual concept there, as well as physical. And by the way, the word rain was added there. It's in italics. They'll have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up, or the Gentile, Hebrew 14:71. He will smite the Gentile that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now this is a future event here. In that day, and this is prophecy that hasn't been fulfilled yet, in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses separation, or Kodesh, unto Yahweh, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be separation unto Yahweh of hosts. And all they that offer shall come and take of them, and see therein, and in that day there shall no more be the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of hosts. In this podcast, I've covered two feasts. Feast of Passover at the beginning of the year, that is in March or April, and the Feast of Sukkot at the end of the season, around October. And I already told you where you can find that. And we find Freedom Under the Law of Yahweh. Thank you, Bill Schultz, for that book. Thank you, Vonda. Thank you, Chuck. And all those who have helped to thank Yahweh, most of all, for creating us and giving us these great ideas. Email address is Stephan Yah. That's spelled with a Zadi, T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H. Stephan Yah at Yahweh, Yahweh. Name. I'm blessed to be here and be a servant, a minister for you, and hope we've cheered up your period of time here on this earth, waiting for the next great feast, or the next great Sabbath, or the next, there's one more Jubilee at least to come. So praise Yah today, lift Him up, the King of Kings, praise His Son as well. We're going to be with Him in the New Jerusalem, and it could be very, very soon. Shalom.